The contents of this podcast might refer to information that has changed since the moment of its recording. Follow us on Twitter at Project Noom to keep up with our latest updates.
Mike, are you ready for this?
Well, you know, I've been told that I have a face for radio, so I'm ready.
Definitely have a voice for radio. That's dang sure.
That sounds pretty good.
When I was, I'm stoked. I'm psyched. I've been like up. It's bright and early here. I'm in San Diego right now. We drove in super late last night, and I was nursing a baby bear in the middle of the night. So I'm ready. But I'm stoked about this. I've been waiting for like 2 hours, and also like my whole life.
Wait. Can you unpack this nursing a baby bear? Is that like a euphemism, or is that mean actually? Is that like a literal sentence? Unpack that for me, please.
Well, they're 9 months old, and there's only hair on the top of their head, and they're actually a human, and they drink milk, and they were up at like 4 a.m. until 5 a.m. last night.
I'm just saying. If you have like a baby bear on part of your marketing, I'm just throwing that out there. It's like only you can buy stream tokens.
Yeah, it sounds like I named the single wrong. Maybe, you know, it should have been baby bear instead.
Nah. And now we're gonna confuse people. It's baby bird. The single is baby bird.
Indeed, the single is called baby bird. I'm very stoked to release it. It's probably the heaviest song on this latest Underdog release, like group of releases that's coming out. It is it's a cool, like fun Nirvana-ish, Foo Fighters-ish kind of straight ahead rock song. Although some of it kind of gives me like the bridge part sort of gives me a like Red Hot Chili Peppers kind of vibe sometimes. I'm just really stoked about it. It's cool because it's one of the only tracks out of this group of songs that is fully recorded by all the guys from my old band that we started when we were like 11 years old. And we can go through history later, but it's kind of, it makes it special to me because it's like some of my oldest best friends recorded on it. And it just makes me happy.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to get started here in just a minute. For those of you that are down there, hello. Thanks for stopping by. Josh, see you. Thank you. Odd Shape Shadow. Fantabulous. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on today. The sale's going live here pretty shortly. And talk about kind of, to me, Mike, I'm just super excited about today because for us, you are the first artist that we're essentially providing a suite of essentially products to for one piece of music. So that to me is pretty special. Just from where I'm sitting. So I think this is going to be one of the people are going to look back on this and go, "Oh, light bulb moment as an artist." Of you mean I can do this, this, and this. And this later down the road. So it's going to be good to get to talk about all those. So also a special shout out to Juice who just hopped in the call too.
Juice, how you doing, man? You're awake? You woke up? How late did it go last night?
Oh, he can't answer us.
We've got to bring him up to speaker. Here. Yeah.
He gave us a heart. Well, at least he's functioning. So there's that.
I'm super jealous I didn't get to go to New York this year for NFT Less. I'm definitely going to try to go next year. I got the digital ticket, you know, so you're watching on Newcast and you just get to like hang out with a beer and watch everyone else party. And I'm like so jealous right now. But it looks like it's been awesome. I'm stoked for everybody that's there and the music there has been sweet.
No, what's up, everybody? Holler, holler. Shout out and congratulations for the release, Mike. Definitely can't wait to meet in person. And, you know, thank you for even just, you know, getting to experience it virtually, honestly. And thank you for sharing that word. I think we had some sound input difficulties yesterday for the feed, for the virtual feed, which I didn't realize until it was literally too late until I got that word. But other than that, I didn't get in too late. I'm definitely beat by the time like it's over with. And so last day, that's for sure. But it being, kind of having to be there at like 4 o'clock really gives me enough time to kind of get my bearings together before I got to dive back in.
Nice. Yeah. I also want to thank you, Juice. Part of this, looking through, I've been watching Cardano stuff for a while and I've been following Noom for a long time. Part of the reason why I found Noom in the first place was through the Catalyst, awards because you guys won a few proposals. And that was exciting to see a music project win. And that's kind of what originally gained my interest. But you were one of the first people that I saw like releasing outside of the MERS release. And it kind of gave me some ideas of like how to do this one. And so thank you for that, because it's inspiring to see other artists on Cardano doing stuff. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I think that's the coolest part about getting to work with Noom. Is really getting to decide, what works best for you as well, and I think Noom has definitely stayed tried and true in supporting artists in that manner. And so just, how you're doing it, even in alone yourself, is still adding to the history, of what's going on here. So, man, again, congratulations. And again, thank you for, staying in tune with the virtual. Were you able to catch Adam yesterday by any chance?
I didn't get to see that part. I think I was driving we were trying to be quiet. So we had the sound of the rain on in the car, which was crazy because it was actually raining outside. So you'd think that you wouldn't need a sound machine when there's a baby in the car. But I was trying to see if I could like see people's faces on my phone. But it was a little tough. I'll have to go back and watch the recording.
So I just want to say we got, it looks like 15, 14, 13 seconds until this drop goes live. Baby Bird from Mike Lerman. Participate in the streaming royalties. MikeLerman.noom.io in 2, 1, go. That was beautiful timing. And we're good. The site is live. Nothing broke. Let me scramble to get my wallet going here. Well, we still talk about it. But yeah, Mike, I mean, this is kind of another first in the Cardano music space, because you are the first rock artist to drop on Noom. And that's a big deal for us. That's a big deal for you. That's a big deal for rock music. That's a big deal for playing real instruments. And something I spent most of my childhood doing. And now everyone just does everything on a computer. So I'm glad to see a guitar slinger like yourself dropping on Noom. And bringing it in strong, man. Tell us about the track. Tell us about the drop and what's up for sale here. And let's unpack this a little bit.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, the people of Noom and the tokenization marketplace and Cardano welcome you to the heavyweight championship of the world.
It's hard to take yourself seriously, isn't it?
So I've been playing rock and roll for a long time. It is such an honor to be kind of the person holding the flag for rock and roll on Cardano. And I appreciate the like love from everybody. It's so cool when you've been the crazy person in your group of friends about Cardano for a long time and you play rock and roll, and you get to combine those two things, and the like Cardano community sort of just accepts everyone. And it's amazing. Like, this community is so cool. So Baby Bird is a song about a baby bird who's they're a nestling who is basically in the nest, and the mother has to leave during a storm. And it's about the mother not coming home and the brutal nature of Mother Nature itself. And basically the baby bird has to learn how to fly on its own. And it's kind of a, you know, it's sort of like a lullaby in that the song, you know, is sort of like trying to calm the baby bird, you know, to like, you know, be that it's going to be okay until the morning. But it's sort of that moment where the bird has to learn how to fly on their own. And that's kind of what the song is about. Right. And I think it fits on this album called Underdog that I'm also going to be releasing through Noom, then Marketplace pretty soon. Wait, which is awesome. And we can talk about that later.
But talking about things. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. sorry. Anyways, so yeah, the so basically 50% of the master streaming rights of this song are going to be tokenized through Noom and are now for sale through the regular Noom offering. And yeah, I'm really stoked about it. It's a first for me to be kind of tokenizing music rights, and it's really fun for me to be giving, you know, fans and Cardano community kind of some participation into, you know, our business and our love for art.
Beautiful, man. Yeah, man. It's a heavy lullaby, a heavy duty lullaby, I would say. It's definitely, you said it's the heaviest song on the record. But it's cool to dive into the meaning and the depth of where you were coming from inspiration wise with it. Can I say it has to do with having kids? Was that on your mind when you wrote this song?
You know, it's weird because I wrote it. This song is probably 6 years old. So,
wow, okay.
You know, yeah, my son is currently 9, but it's kind of crazy because everybody that hears it and everybody that I talk to about it is like, is it about your kid? And it's interesting because it does have like some, you know, there's somewhat of an allegory there, but I think, you know, I didn't have it in mind when I actually wrote it, but it's interesting that like things kind of foreshadow and come true as time goes on. Right.
Exactly. And if you're wondering, people, you can go listen to it right now, or maybe after this space, on, every streaming service out there, Spotify, Apple, in the works, and hopefully in the future, sooner than later, Noom's own streaming service, where we'll be paying out higher royalties than the other guys that are owned by the major record labels is the goal here.
Juice, this is when you say boom, boom.
Right. It's really cool to be working with a company like Noom. I want to especially thank Adam Bloom for being so awesome throughout this whole process. The whole Noom team is great. Ryan is awesome. The Jess and Alex and the marketing team are sweet to work with. Everybody's like very organized, and you know, when you're a do-it-yourself artist and you want to, you know, I've been doing this for a while trying to release my own stuff, and you know, I have some knowledge about music royalties, but you know, when you have a group of people that are just as excited to help do-it-yourself artists, it's like so inspiring to see, because as an artist out there, you know, doing it yourself and not being signed to a major label and kind of not really wanting ever to be with a major label, you just want a community, you know? And the, you know, the way that they've put this whole thing together on Noom to release these singles is such like a genius idea, because it kind of gets the fans involved. It gets everybody who's into music involved, and it kind of gives artists a platform to be able to connect with each other in a way that hasn't really been done before, especially in like, you know, cryptocurrency. So it's really cool. I'm really stoked about it. Baby Bird is definitely a rock song. I love all the music that's been coming out on Noom so far, but it's really cool to be the person to bring in that kind of music. And, you know, I'm hoping that I can sort of use this as a launchpad to bring in some more artists of all different genres.
Yes, please, and thank you. We need Web3 savvy artists to help us at Noom and help with the community to bring in, you know, non Web3 savvy artists, Web2 artists. That's the only way this is really going to work. We need bridges. We need educators. Juice is a big part of that with the the listening room and what he's doing with NFTLES. We just need as much of that as possible. And honestly, like the hip hop community, the electronic community, those guys are all such hustlers. But from my experience with the rock community, like they're just not, they're not on Twitter as much. They're not savvy to this. So you definitely can be carrying that torch, and you know, I definitely want to help you, which is why I wanted to, you know, definitely feature your music's great. People don't know Mike actually is an inspiration to me because he's a music industry veteran that plays music as well and puts out records. And if you want someone with a lot of knowledge in the music industry and how things work, this is the man you should talk to. Do you want to touch on that just a little bit and kind of the angle you're coming at from this? I know you've been a musician for a long time, but when did you get started working in the music industry proper?
So professionally, like an IRL style job. So like I went to college for music industry, Cal State Northridge, which is in Los Angeles, and it was a music industry studies degree. I had already been in a band for 8 years. So I was that dude in college that was like handing out flyers to everybody for his metal band, you know, and at like 18, right. And at school. But basically after college, during college, I had done 4 internships. One of them was at a radio station called KPFK 90.7 FM. So I got to be the board operator. And then I was a sound engineer at a place called Studio City Sound, which is a pretty well-known recording studio in North Hollywood. And then I worked at Warner Music Group in the publicity section. That's where I learned that music marketing wasn't really my forte, but I learned a lot there about how to market and what an EPK really should mean and things like that. Doing press kits for like Metallica and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then my last internship was at Universal Music Group in copyright. And, you know, I didn't really know what I was getting into at the time. I was like, okay, this is like the biggest record label in the world. I'm not really a huge fan of like this whole, you know, record contracts ripping off artists and stuff, but I'm going to learn how it works in case, you know, my band gets signed or I can help others, right? So that way they don't get ripped off when I learn how to read these contracts. And so I worked in licensing for a while. Mechanical licensing is when a record label has to pay publishing to their own artists and to any artists that own rights to the compositions on any scheduled release, right? So I worked in that for a while. And then I worked in synchronization licensing, which is where, you know, you have to license music for films or commercials. So I did that on the label side for a while. And then I worked in artist royalties, which is like basically how the artist gets paid for sales on their record contract. And then I got laid off from Universal Music Group. They brought me back for a little while, and then I left to go to a business management company where I pretty much did music royalties for a multitude of artists. I worked for Janet Jackson. I did Jack White, Alice in Chains, Megadeth, Skrillex, Avicii, Deadmau5, like so many. It was like I had like 80 clients. And in that situation, you're basically collecting all the income for royalties for everything that your client releases. And
wait, Mike. Were you the human element in that equation that we all wait on to get that money?
Well, I mean, you know, there's sort of a delay because, you know, you have to collect from the sources for, you know what I mean? Like if there are multiple labels paying, if there are, you know, neighboring rights providers, if there are DSPs, there are all these in-between people that take forever to report the earnings. So, yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people that learned how it worked and tried to make sure that artists got paid as quickly as possible and that they weren't getting ripped off. It's really easy for some of these companies to get way too much on their plate and then they just report whatever. And, you know, they can, it's a centralized entity paying a centralized entity paying a centralized entity, and none of it is automated. I mean, you know, they've been getting better over the years, but You know, so are you usually we're the human element that gets that checks the contract and asks if they're paying it correctly and checks it against the data and then basically audits them as the money comes in.
So it's like, trust me, bro, until you guys take a look at it.
Right. I mean, we were basically, you know, we were working on behalf of the artist. We were like, you know, or the artist's accountant, basically. So, you know, we're kind of where the buck had to stop when they actually received the money to check if it's actually correct or not.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I know this. I was just, for anybody that's listening down here, guys, it's convoluted. And Mike has been in the, he's been in the trenches. So, and this is part of what we're trying to solve. So continue, yeah, I mean, Mike, keep going.
Yep.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, I don't want to go too deep into the industry. Like, you know, I'm hoping that maybe we can do some educational stuff to teach people kind of maybe the difference between how, you know, I guess what you call TradFi music works and how, you know, maybe we can change things for the blockchain to make it more streamlined and more fair. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's sort of how I got started, at least for like a in real life job. And then the last few years I've been working for sort of a financial tech company, helping them with royalties and residuals to create some software to actually calculate royalties and things like that. So, you know, I'm trying to make sure that we can, you know, it's funny because I'm that guy that thinks that everybody should move over to the blockchain and that things would be so much easier if we just did, you know, and, you know, you see like international payments happening, you see how slow things are and how archaic people are still receiving checks more than 50% of the time. You know, you'd think that ACH is slow, but dude, paper checks, like we could really change the industry, by changing a few simple things. And I think that education is first for artists when they want to get there. And it's been really helpful to have this knowledge because I've been able to help a lot of artists with licenses when they get them, or if I've helped a few that have got publishing deals to make sure, because it's really easy for companies to just give a boilerplate version, like kind of whatever template that they have for a contract that, you know, gives them the best benefit. And artists don't really know most of the time how to read that stuff. So it's been great to be able to help friends out.
Was it like across the universe in perpetuity? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No terms, none, like just like so vague.
You got to love it. No, I'm with you on that. I envision a world where self-hosted, right, or like decentralized hosting of you know, like basically pieces of music for publishing, right, self-hosted publishing, and then, you know, for the mechanical rights and stuff like that, being able to lease things and having all of that via tokenized fashion, and then you can lock things up in smart contracts, because like leasing rights, that's super easy. It's like, hey, if I hold them in my wallet, I get to hold them for an X amount of time, and then after the contract, or you know, block them up in the contract, and then they can go back to owner, to the other person after the time's allotted. So it's super, super easy to accommodate that with blockchain. It's getting there. We're going there.
100%. Yeah, this everything that I hear about, you know, Noom's roadmap is like music to my ears. So it's very exciting to be part of it. I know that I've been kind of putting you guys through the ringer a little bit with this whole thing. I think I was the first person to be like, hey, I'm releasing a whole album, but this single is actually going to be on the album. And that kind of like made a little wrinkle in terms of like how we do the tokenization and everything. I also have this music video, you know, and like trying to make sure that stuff gets worked out. And like the marketing team has been awesome. Adam, man, I just so much kudos to you for dealing with all my crazy questions.
Let me give you a little bit of behind the scenes from the tech side. So Andrew is just, y'all know Andrew is our CTO. Mike, because of you asking to do that, though, it was great because Adam and I had a call with Andrew about this to talk through the process. Because if people don't realize, there's actually, it's not a problem anymore, because we actually updated SIP 68 for part of our minting contracts. For that's going to be like V2 for us. But essentially, if you distribute, right, a piece of music, it gets the ISRC code, right? And then that information's there. And if you mint it, then it's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be non-fungible, right? Like, you're not supposed to be able to go back and edit it. That's the whole premise. Or if you do, it has to be extremely difficult. But then if you release an album and you also have that piece of music on the album, then the album has a code. And so then you have to go and retroactively attach the album code to the single, so you know it's the same piece and referencing, right? So that's a real world thing that happens all the time, right? But on blockchain, with something being immutable, that was the word I was looking for earlier, not fungible, immutable. You know, how do you accommodate that, and how do you do that with a cost that's appropriate for the blockchain, because that's transactions and burning and, you know, all the things. And so we worked through that, and honestly, I think we came up with a pretty elegant solution. And Andrew's like, "All right, oh yeah, we can do this." And so, you know, it was actually really fun to kind of watch him work through that in real time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it came up, because we've been focused on just singles, and in the back of my head, I'm like, we need to be doing albums and EPs, because that request is going to come up very, very soon. And then Mike was like, "Yeah, I want to do this single, but oh, by the way, I'm also putting out my album with the single is on." And I'm scratching my head like, well, we need to be able to collect the royalties for that single if it's on that album, being it has the same ISRC, it's the same master recording, and whoever's buying into the single, which is live right now, go buy royalty shares, mikelerman.noom.io. We need to be able to collect from both streams, from the album and from the single. So, and that's what's been really great about these, you know, these sample sale drops, is every one of them is unique. Every one of them has a little different something that we need to account for. And the goal being is, we get through enough of these, by the time we launch the artist portal in the marketplace, we'll have been through probably most, if not all, of the scenarios that'll come up with artists and how they want to do their releases. And we'll have accounted for everything, so that, you know, we're really buttoned up as far as royalties and everything going where it needs to go and the minting process. So it's really, really, Mike definitely put us through the ringer. But I think we came out victorious on the end, and it was worth it. And we got a lot of things smoothed out because of it. I just want to give a shout. So the single royalties participation is live today. On Wednesday, the album itself is being dropped as a traditional music serialized NFT. And that will be on the record store. Shout out to Six City, who's listening here, Jimmy, for lining that up. So that's on Wednesday. And then the actual album itself will be distributed to streaming platforms via Noom next Friday. So we got Friday, this today, the single. We got Wednesday, the NFT album drop, and Friday, the distribution of the album. So that's a lot of coordination, and it's worth it for Mike. He's a good dude, and he deserves it, and we're super stoked to be working with him.
And can we just say something? This is what makes me so excited. This is three separate products that include the same single piece of music that we're able to offer those options to Mike. And every one of them is a valid use case, and it's a valid product, right? And so being able to do that, for that's a distribution, fractionalization, serialized release, and that's all coming through blockchain. That's coming through Web3 as the entry point, not Web2, right? And so that, to me, that is so exciting, because this, and like Adam said, he's, you know, one royalty stream at a time, right? we're just doing this, just streaming for right now, but like that, this is the starting point, and we are laying a foundation, right? Like a rock solid cornerstone for this, because if we get this right, then the house is going to be plumb. It'll be square, right? This has to be right. And this is just so exciting with that. So I'm with you on that, Adam. This is awesome.
Yeah. The hard part is getting the contracts right, getting the fractionalization right, and being able to collect the royalties so you can distribute to those tokens accordingly. Each step from there is, all right, how can we then push this into publishing and do publishing administration? How can we push this into sync licensing? You know, metaverses are going to come up, and film and TV are going to come up. And it's just making those pipes that lead back to the artists and those that want to buy into it, just bulletproof. They can't leak. The metadata has to be right. The artists need to get paid. The writers need to get paid. And we need to set the standards, which the community is a part of. Mike was, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but you were also a part of the original SIP 60 metadata standard. Is that right?
Well, I tried to make myself involved because I was so interested in it. I kept reaching out to like everybody on every Discord being like, okay, so what does this entail? you know, like, does it include the ISWC? If you don't know what that is, well, it'll be explained later. But I'm really excited about like the growth of the music industry on Cardano, and like SIP 60 is really exciting for that, because if we can create, you know, have a metadata standard that everybody can use, it'll really make paying royalties out later really simplified for, or at least doable for, you know, someone like Noom to actually be able to pay out royalties for multiple different rights types on the blockchain. And that is something that I think that we all want, right?
Exactly.
And it's just funny, like, okay, so just to summarize, everybody, the single is live now for tokenization, so go get your tokens for Baby Bird. The timing is crazy for this because I've been waiting to release this album. A little bit of history, like, I started recording this album in 2018, and it was originally going to be one big album, because I sort of have this crazy bipolar writing style where I'll have like a country song and then the next song will be like metal, you know? and then the song after that is like funk. I'm kind of all over the place. Most of it is pretty much straight ahead rock. The first part of the album that got released on New Year's Day of this year is more like the softer, chiller songs. So like if you go to my Spotify and stuff or whatever, you listen to that stuff, you're like, okay, these songs are pretty relaxed, pretty cool. The second half of the album is like definitely the more angsty hard rock stuff, which is cool because this Baby Bird release definitely exemplifies that. And the timing was so cool because, you know, I had been in talks with Jimmy at Six City about doing the album for months, you know, and then all of a sudden, like a few weeks before we decided to have this album release, it all lined up that the record store just gets launches like 3 weeks before my album gets released, right? So it's so cool to see you guys working together and having this, you know, partnership happen right when the album is about to come out. So it means that yes, we get to have this Baby Bird tokenization sale, which is really cool, and then next week we basically get to have the full album come out, and that includes this music video. It's going to include profile pics, little underdog PFPs to fit the DGen style of, you know, NFTs on Cardano. And it's like going to be in this cool booklet. You get to include artwork. And that's something that's sort of lost on the music industry with, you know, just going to a streaming service and only basically getting to hear the song. You know, getting this NFT for an album gives you so much more. So both part one and part two of the album are going to be included in the album sale. And so it's just like I get the full gambit of like Noom and Six City through these releases and these this month. And it's just so exciting to me. And I can't thank you guys enough. And everybody on Cardano.
Yeah. And
shout out to Jimmy.
Yeah. Shout out to Jimmy, man. This guy, he's like a magician putting these things together and the ideas that come out of it. And he showed me a lot of the examples he's done. It's awesome, man. Jimmy, give us a few words there. You online?
Salutations. I am. How are you?
Good, good, brother.
Oh yeah. No, I'm feeling good, man. I just woke up not too long ago. Just kind of dragging out, but
Jimmy's putting in like 70 hour weeks right now at the record store. Just FYI, people.
Jimmy, are you like inundated with people requesting to get into the store?
Like, I do have I do have a pretty big not a huge backlog, but I've got a couple people who are almost like working like record labels, only without, you know, being called a record label. Like they're doing a good job, I guess, onboarding. And say, you know, I have one guy in particular, he's probably sent me like six or seven different Google Drive folders. He's like, here's this artist, here's all the information on them. Here's the images. Here's the music. Here's their sign-off sheet. Here, and it's just like, damn. Okay, cool. Got another one. And obviously, we're doing features every Wednesday, so I'm getting all of those set up, and then I'll have, you know, like we met this dude named Rax in the basement. And he was on our space with Amber VHS last week, and he was just like, he hopped on, and he was like, hey, you know, I'm at the gym, and I saw that, you know, there was like a music NFT space, so I decided to hop in, and like, this sounds awesome. Like, what do I do? And we ended up, I got on a call with him yesterday for about a half hour, and we, in that call, I built him his sale for his NFT drop that's happening next week, and I sent him his very first music NFT, and it was just an awesome experience to be able to do all of that in one sitting. And now this person who was curious about how this all worked is now all in, which I think is pretty cool.
Music, it's going to drive mass adoption on Cardano. I think it's going to do it much quicker than gaming or any metaverse play, truly, just in my opinion.
We just need four more Jimmys. So we're getting Jimmy an assistant for his assistant is the next goal.
Let's go.
Okay, so Mike, just to recap, I know we have a couple people in that had just showed up. You have your drop. It's live right now for your single, for the streaming royalties, so stream tokens, that you can go do that right now. Next Wednesday, you have your serialized drop in the record store. On Wednesday with the full album, and then next Friday that album gets distributed and it comes live on streaming platforms for the rest of the world to consume. Is that correct?
That is correct. What's cool, I mentioned this at the beginning of the stream, what's really cool about Baby Bird is that it basically features the guys from my old rock band from when I was like, that we started when we were 11 or 12 years old. I'm like pinging these dudes on the side to try to get in the space right now. It's just really like a open heart thing to have that happen. The album actually has 17 guest artists on it. The album that's coming out next week, between part one and part two, there are 17 guest artists. One of them is an Oscar nominated actor named John Hawks, who I played in a folk band called Rodney and John with for 4 years. It's basically like everybody that I've been jamming with for the last 10 years, which is really cool. There's like a violin player, there's a saxophone player, there are four female singers on it. It's like a really crazy hodgepodge. I'm trying to that word that Charles said in the last his last like video, I'm trying to remember, is like the little bit of everything Japanese word.
Oh yeah, that's the title of his live stream. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was so good, but I wanted to mention that. But like, yeah, it was it's kind of like that for me. Like, it's like sort of like a taste of everything that I've been working on forever. So it's really cool to be releasing that in this fashion on Noom next week. That'll be on the 19th. But yeah, I mean, today is the big launch day for Baby Bird, and it's just like, so I just feel so inspired to be the person that gets to hold the flag for rock and roll on Cardano. And I feel like I'm in such good company with all these other great artists that have been doing it so far. And I'm so thankful to everybody for being here and for the acceptance in the community.
I would just like you to know that I will be looking forward to receiving 2.5% of the future streamer royalty income. Just throwing that out there. Also, shout out to Endmaker. I see you guys down there. So just so everybody knows, if y'all missed it, where have you been? Record Store, it is not just a one entity thing. This is Noom with Endmaker and then Jimmy at Six City. This is a trifecta of things coming together for that, because we need a dedicated space for music on Cardano. And we don't want you having to go to other marketplaces that literally you can find all kinds of weird things on them. We will always have more music than anybody else because we aggregate from everywhere. So make sure you go to the record store to find your music NFTs. That is where this is at. So just as an FYI. So shout out to M-Maker. And yes, Jimmy, I might even buy. I think I'm going to make it like an even 5% just to make myself feel better. So
let's go. And just FYI on the album. Man, there's a lot to talk about, but the full album that's being distributed next Friday with Baby Bird on it. In order to distribute that album, we fractionalized each track individually, the streaming royalty rights on each track individually. Now, as of right now, Mike is only selling fractions from the Baby Bird track. But once we have a marketplace out there, you never know. You never know. Mike might want to throw some more tokens out there or airdrop them to someone or whatever. But that's what's cool. You know, he's keeping what he wants. He's selling what he wants for now, and then he has those options later. And it's another thing he can play with to engage his fans and the community. One more option.
You know,
yeah, that's really cool. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I don't want to cut you off. I was gonna say, Mike, it'd be really cool. You know, if token holders of the stream tokens had early access to the album drop on the record store in the future. Things like that, you know, that token.
Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be so cool? Since, you know, doing these things on the blockchain, you can kind of give special perks to people that have been doing your stuff so far. So I'm sensing, my spidey sense is a sense that there might be a few fun, you know, little, I wouldn't say carrots. I think they're like full on cakes, for people that, get the streaming tokens, that might get some fun stuff later or, early releases, things like that. I'm just stoked about like this whole thing. Like when the bull run comes back, which is, seems like it's going to happen soon. You know, this whole metaverse thing, like I want to have a radio station in the metaverse where we get to play some of this stuff. I want to like be able to throw a concert with a full band to be like on a Megatron in the metaverse, dude. Can we do that?
Well, you know, it's so funny because we had a call with Josh from Cornucopias this morning because, you know, we are, you know, Kobe and Noom, we're close. That's no like alpha. That's, well, I mean, if you haven't been paying attention, maybe it is. So, you know, we chat with them about every 2 weeks. So, you know, fun things.
Are you saying record stores are coming back?
I'm saying, you know, the metaverse has some very interesting opportunities for rediscovery of how we do things. That's where I'm going to leave it.
All right. I'm saying record stores should come back, though. I'm saying that.
You know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You know, we mentioned this on a Twitter space earlier this week, but you know what's really crazy about this whole NFT thing? And I confirmed it with some people that have been working in music royalties for like 25 years, is that like when you buy an NFT, you know, the artist, if you put it on the secondary market, the artist can actually receive royalties, you know, using that. I mean, and I know that's not like a new thing. If you're in the NFT world, like you're used to royalties, like you understand it. It's a whole been, you know, in and out of controversy over times with like, you know, marketplaces deciding to use it or not. But as a musical artist, you know, this is like really the NFTs and the blockchain is the first time that artists can really receive secondary you know, market royalties. Like previously, if you were selling vinyl records or tapes or CDs, you know, in the physical world, you know, if somebody returned that CD to the store, the record label actually deducted that from your royalties. Like you'd only get paid for sales that were sold and not returned. And actually record labels would hold back royalties from you as reserves in case things got returned. What's interesting about NFTs and is a positive for artists of the music world is that if somebody puts your release back on the market, on the secondary market, and it gets sold again as an NFT, you actually get paid again royalties. This is brand new for the music industry.
A new royalty stream, one that actually pays more than 0.003.
This is,
and that's what makes it. It's like so exciting to be part of this on the front lines. you know, in this part of the world at this time. You know, I think that, yeah, this is like going to cause, you know, a resurgence in the industry. I think, you know, Noom and Six City and Endmaker and Cardano are sort of like forefront in this. You know I see a lot of other streams for people trying to do Web3 all over the place, and you know, everybody's doing it, but I can see that, you know, we're really getting there, and it's going to be, you know, I think we're going to beat everybody to market with this kind of thing, and it's really exciting.
Well, I think one of the biggest equations in this is that there's a lot of people that are exclusively Web3, and I get it. I do. I completely understand that concept behind that. But I think we would do ourselves a disservice if we cut out Web 2 from being able to participate. And I think we have to be smarter than the average bear, to go back to your very early quote about bears in the car. We have to be smarter than your average bear and not just go, well, we're just not going to play with them. No, we need to show them the way, i.e. trick them into going, oh my gosh, this is such a better user experience. This is such a better, I didn't know I could do all these things. Oh my gosh, why would I even want to play in Web 2 whenever I can do all of these things in Web 3? Oh, by the way, people, go listen to my music on Web 2. Oh, you want to do more than just consume my music or just buy a piece of merchandise? Well, guess what? There's a way to do that. So you're no longer just being a consumer of, you know, it's a one and done. If you want to get really connected, right? Like, oh, here's a way. Who cares that it's Web 3? We don't care about that. You just know that you're getting a more meaningful experience as somebody that loves this artist, right? And like, you know, back to that whole metaverse, you know, if you were to, you know, Mike, let's say, because streaming live music has challenges, right? And like, you need a very specific like studio set up to be able to do that. And that's maybe not necessarily applicable for all artists to have that available. But having something that's in post-production, that's recorded, that's produced, and having that playing, but then maybe having an area where that artist avatar and the artist are there live, but the only way to get in the queue to go and talk to that artist for like a one-on-one is you have to have something in your wallet, right? Or something like that, to where you get access to actually talk to that artist in person.
Right. I mean, you know, it sounds like you know, for a live band, you'd have to have it that way. But, you know, I think that you can actually record. There's so many good recording direct in capabilities now with guitar and drums and, you know, bass and vocals that you could probably record direct in live on OBS and be able to, you know, provide a live stream. I'm not sure what the latency would be like that on something like that, but I think that we could make it work. You know, if you like have the hologram that's in the universe, in the metaverse, like delayed by like 10 seconds, it might match up pretty well.
You said latency. That's the dirty word of 2020, I think, when people figured out you couldn't collaborate across long distances in real time, right? But no, I'm with you. But I see a world where, you know, that Web 2 plus Web 3 is where it's at. Like, yes, I think we're going to transition. I think in 20 years down the road, 20, 30 years, you know, I think we'll see much more tight integration of blockchain with, quote, the industry. And the industry is going to look different. But I think for us to success, what does success look like for us right now in this current moment in time? It's being smarter than the average bear and basically pulling people out of their allegorical cave. And I do mean people as in the artist, but also the consumers and the fan base, right? So, and I think we have to be even better, not just a little better than what they have to work with, but we have to be exponentially better than what is out there right now. And I think that's where our secret sauce comes into play with everything we're doing here.
100%. I mean, yeah, shout out to Endmaker and Patrick Dobler on this call. I've heard him say several times in tweets and other places that, you know, I mean, you want people that are regular users of this content or regular creators to not even really know that they're using blockchain. Like the UX has to be formulated in a way that, you know, they think that they're just using it because they love the actual dApp that they're using, you know, and that, you know, this whole thing about being able to pay with credit card and being able to onboard users that are not from our crypto world is going to be key you know, and it's great that Cardano is sort of well positioned to be interoperable with multiple chains, but also with Web2, you know, platforms to be able to do this.
I already told Patrick he red-pilled my father with when the record store went live, because and what was the reason? Because he could pay with credit card. That's what it was. So now my father is a proud music NFT owner. So yeah, I'm telling you, it's super important, and this is how we win, right? Like, that's how we win, and I think I know that InMaker, Neum, and I know Jimmy, I think we're extremely aligned in that vision of, yeah, it's great techie, but if it has a crappy user experience and nobody, you know, it doesn't make sense to an average consumer, we're doing it wrong, right? And so I think that's that alignment of those visions. I think that's just, you can't replicate that, right? And so that's super awesome for me.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's coming too is that we haven't really gotten to see yet is decentralized social media. And I mean, if that gets formulated in a way that people think that they're just basically posting on Twitter or Instagram or something like that, then they're, you know, going to be able to participate in these Web3 things without even knowing it. Right. So like, you know, because 70% of like, you know, content creator traffic is basically on Instagram. And I mean, I maybe don't have to argue with a lot of people, but using Instagram sometimes is garbage. Like yesterday I tried to post a full music video, and because everything's a reel now, you can't even do that. Like I try to follow people and I can't follow them back. And I feel like I'm getting shadow banned sometimes, and you never know. Right. But like, hopefully in the future world where we have sort of a decentralized social media, things like content that comes from places like Neum and stuff like that will be so transparent, and like, you know, you'll be able to post things in a way that you'll be able to actually reach the audiences that you want without any kind of censorship or worry about that sort of thing. And that's like super exciting to me, because with things like Neum and these sort of token sales and you know, these new marketplaces that are popping up, especially like the record store, like you'll be able to, this onslaught of artists that have been dealing with the Instagrams and Facebooks and YouTubes of the world will be flooding in to, you know, the world that we live in now with crypto. And that's going to be really exciting. And I can't wait to try to provide some education and try to be the Pied Piper, so to speak, to try to bring some of these rock artists who may not be tech savvy into a world that with the tech people to be able to do these kinds of things.
Well, I'm with you on that. And don't even get me started on like veracity bonds and stuff like that for all of the social media posts, like putting your money where your mouth is. But, you know, for like an average standpoint from a musician, right, that somebody has no knowledge of Web3, and the only thing they've heard is like Jim Cramer on Squawk Box going, Bitcoin's going to zero, right? That's all they know about crypto. If you go to them and you go, hey, guess what? Would you like to, and, you know, for practical terms, it's like, hey, would you like to be able to, you know, allow people to own part of your royalties? They go, why would I want to give away my royalties? Well, you go, okay, well, if you have the option and you can get upfront money as opposed to waiting on the back end. Oh, that's kind of cool. Great. Oh, great. Then you can go, hey, do you want to, would you like to be able to offer unique experiences from your consumers? What do you mean? Well, would you like to know exactly who owns or who has bought an album of yours? Like to the, like know their actual address location, and you could be able to send them little things. Well, that's kind of cool from a marketing standpoint. Right. Like those are practical things that have nothing to do with the tech, but it's just good business. Right. And I think that is going to be something that's so from a narrative standpoint and education standpoint for musicians, of knowing that they have that available and that's an actual realistic thing. That's going to be super important, in my opinion. I think that's going to be one of the big things for onboarding into the web, the black hole that is Web3. That's going to like change the game. And I think for us, when we talk to musicians, I know Adam can speak more to this, but when you're having conversations with non-crypto musicians, They don't care about the tech. They don't care. What they care about is, oh, okay, there's new business options available to me. Oh, I can do this and this and this. Okay, great. I can lease out my rights. Oh, that's an awesome thing. You mean I don't have to go to a lawyer to do this? No. Okay. Oh, you mean I can, you know, token gate. I can allow, you know, all the things that we already know about. When they find out they can do that, they don't care about the tech. They are like, oh my God, I can do this. You know?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I communicate to independent artists, especially, is you don't need 10,000, 10 million fans out there to make some decent cash making art and putting it out into the world. You need to focus on a few hundred fans, 1,000 if you can get it to that point, and offer those that really care about what you're doing the most you possibly can. And if you can win them over and keep them happy and keep servicing them, then you can add one more at a time, bring one more in, you know, a few here, a few there, and then it starts to add up. I mean, it's truly treating your art and your you know, yourself as an artist as a startup, because that's what it is. Like, you have to be a hustler. You have to be your own marketer. If you can bring people in to help you in that game, like, that's great. But you first need to be connecting with your fans and offering them something that isn't just, you know, here's my music on SoundCloud and I'm playing one random show here. And that's where Web3 really comes in. You can create rarity. You can create a lot more incentives. You can token gate things. And again, it's all just about education and showing other artists these tools and what they can be used for.
Well, I'm going to be streaming your piece of music, and I'm also going to be telling my folks, hey, have you heard this piece of music? Because now I'm financially incentivized to do that, right? Because, like, I'm like, hey, I'm getting part of this income myself, you know, just from a practical standpoint. And that's the best marketing you can get. It's word of mouth, like boots on the ground marketing. You know what I mean?
For sure. Especially, yeah. The marketing and, like, the community that also comes with, like, being a part of this has been invaluable, honestly. Like, the you know, because you can spend years trying to post to the same 50 people on your Facebook account or Instagram account or YouTube account, and it's so hard to break through the noise because you can't offer them anything but basically a soundbite that comes from a DSP, right? But, like, now in these cases, especially with the record store, you know, I mean, you as an artist, like, the whole thing about being able to stand out is proving how authentic you are and how different your songs are, or what your style is, right? Or your spin on your remix that you did, right? But, like, you know, without being able to give them the artwork that comes along with your music or the music video or the, you know, being able to create NFTs, profile pick NFTs that come along with your album, I mean, there's so much of yourself that you can show as an artist that comes along with this kind of stuff that you couldn't really do previously, which is what is exciting for, you know, to be part of this, because this way I'll have something that I can show to other artists that are in the rock world. Like, I'll give you an allegory, like, where, you know, when I was 13, my drummer, his uncle had a studio, right, in Los Angeles. And, like, you know, he had been a touring member of the Traveling Wilburys, which was basically like Tom Petty and George Harrison and a few of those guys. And so he had all this equipment, right, that he had us recording with. And we're 13 years old. Like, we don't know any of these guys. I barely knew who the Beatles was when I was 13, which might be sacrilege to say. But, like, he's like, hey, did you know that Paul McCartney sang through this microphone? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But, like, at the time, I didn't know how important that was, right? Whereas, like, I think that there are going to be artists that we can bring over to this space that don't understand, like, how on the forefront they're going to be until they actually do it. And the way to get them in is to show them what you can give. Like, look at what we can do. We can make loyalty tokens on this kind of stuff. Like, we can create smart contracts, so if they buy the first part of your album, they get the second part at a discount, or things like that, where, you know, you can provide perks to your audience that you can't really do in those, like, traditional methods in this world where everything's just a soundbite on SoundCloud anymore, right? So it's just, I think being able to show that you can provide that stuff makes artists inspired to do more and to connect with their audience in a different way.
What really excites me is where we're going, right? Like, I know where we're at right now. And this is, I feel like when you're building and you're, it's a paradigm shift, it doesn't, you know, it's not like you wake up one day and, all right, we flip the switch, it's binary, it's either on or off. It's, you know, there's that transitory period, that liminal space in between. And, you know, when you're in that, you don't realize the significance of it. Like, we were talking about this when we had all of our people, everybody that was on the call for that SIP 60 when we originally did this. It was a really, really cool and a big thing that's going to have, you know, it's like throwing a rock in a pond and there's ripples, and you don't even know what effects those are going to have, that initial impetus, right? And, you know, and then all the stuff that's going to come from this. But for me, I look at this and I go, okay, we are going to literally change the paradigm from, and you know this, Mike, in the industry, the music itself is the last thing that people really account for when they're talking about revenue. It's touring and it's the merchandise sales, right? Now, until you get from a B2B, or if like people are selling catalogs, but that's not something that's normally been done by individuals. Right. That's more or less, that's been things that have been done from, you know, from a B2B standpoint, and or extremely high net worth individuals that want to just go buy a catalog. Right. And so for me, this is going to, it's like bringing fire. It's getting fire from the gods, essentially, for the rest of the world. In my opinion, it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to be able to eventually, you know, tokenize all of my different types of IP. And then that's going to make them extremely liquid, which is going to break down barriers. And then that's also going to increase the rate of payouts and the time and decrease that, right? Because right now, you know this, but for those of you who don't, it's like a bare minimum of 60 days between the point of consumption on a streaming platform and when an artist could potentially see any type of income come their way. And, you know, breaking down that to where you're decreasing the friction between consumption and whatever medium to value going to where it's supposed to go, we're essentially recreating the structure to where it's not two or three entities that started this and all they care about is making sure that they're getting paid on the back end. And, oh, okay, I guess we have to make sure everybody else gets their stuff. So let's come up with some janky solutions that are not elegant to accommodate them. But in this form, we're literally, from the very impetus of what we've done, from the genesis, it's everything gets mapped. Everything, the artist and the ownership is the most important part of the equation before anything else is added on top of that. So it doesn't matter what products you add or what complexities you add, everything knows where it's supposed to go from ownership, and it's going to be automated. And that's the beauty, in my opinion, it's creating a much more elegant system.
I also want to throw one point on that is that I think people are, you know, they have a bad taste in their mouth, artists, and from what fans have heard about streaming, and probably rightfully so, because the problem is these major streaming platforms are owned by the record labels. The three major record labels have their stake in these platforms. They set the rates. They are not giving their catalogs of music to those platforms for free. It's hundreds of millions of dollars in catalog renting fees, basically, and a percentage ownership in those platforms. Our goal, and you know, I got to give a lot of credit to Mikey Mode AMC on here, my brother from another mother, but he's mentioned Bandcamp. And Bandcamp is like the Web 2 of independent artists. And I mean, they've paid out, I think, over $1 billion to independent artists and their independent record labels, just from doing like digital downloads and shit, you know, just fans and their artists direct, no middlemen other than covering fees and keeping the lights on at Bandcamp. And they've proven that model, you know. But the thing about streaming is it's easy. It's slick. You type in the song, it's there. You listen to it. You could download it offline. Like, there's always going to be a space for that. And I think, you know, people that are sleeping on streaming, you know, when we get to it and launch our own platform on top of this thing and show the alternative from the payments that are going to artists. Like artists are, they're just going to have their music on everything else just because it needs to be there. But when we start doing this, and then to Ryan's point about more excited about what's coming, like that's a big one. And I'm excited for that because I know there's a better way to do it. And I think we're going to get to it. And there's a lot more to come. And if we're the partnership with Cornucopius and all these metaverses that are coming online, like people are going to be consuming music like crazy in metaverses. It's going to be when you're driving around. It's going to be in the shopping malls there. It's, you know, there's no video game without music. And those streams can be paying royalties and should. Those artists deserve to get paid. And I know for sure Noom's going to be distributing. And we're going to be collecting. And those royalties can be fractionalized. And everyone can participate. And of course, there's got to be record stores and metaverses. That goes without saying, because we need to go in there and hang out and browse music and just turn up and showcase artists, you know. So there's a lot more, you know, between Napster and kind of where we are now, there's a lot of figuring things out and a lot of burning down the industry and trying to build it back up. And now here we are with a whole new set of tools, a whole new economy and technological infrastructure that we can build this thing back up, right? And whether the majors want to get on board or not, I know there's a whole new wave of artists that are coming up that are not fucking with the major labels. They're here to do this thing independent and leverage the tools and band together. And I'm here for that mission. And I know Noom is, I know Six City is. And Mike, glad to have you on board from the start, buddy.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, just for some history, and if you're just joining now, the Baby Bird tokenization sale is live on Noom now. But just to give some history, it's like I grew up in Los Angeles. I started playing in my first band when I was 11. I played with that band for almost 20 years. And it's crazy growing up in Los Angeles because there's a lot of noise to cut through, right? I mean, there's so many artists. Everybody's trying to compete for space. And growing up in this last, you know, 20 years in this space, you see like all these, like we played every Hollywood venue that we could, right? We played the freaking House of Blues. We played the Viper Room. We played the Key Club. We played the Knitting Factory. And what's crazy is that over time, all of those places have closed down in Hollywood, right? The places where you can actually play as a band have sort of diminished in real life, at least in Los Angeles. And, you know, so you get these like factions of smaller promoters, and you go into a club, this tiny place, to see a band, and it's freaking packed. But like, they don't have like big concert venues to play for regular bands anymore. Like, you can go and see the Eagles, right, at like some giant stadium at Staples Center, but you can't really go, you know, it's impossible to get tickets to like some of these smaller bands. So like, you know, to have the metaverse be able to have a place where bands like this can exist, I think we can bring back record stores. We can bring back venues. We can bring back radio in a way that is better than it was before. And you can actually have live DJs instead of listening to the same top 40 songs over and over again. And I think that there's going to be so much flexibility that people are not going to want to deny it because they can have what their cake and eat it too, you know?
I was literally about to say that, and Adam mentioned this, that, you know, the big three, they can get on board or not. The thing is this is where this is moving. They don't have an option. It's like the labels whenever streaming started. That's exactly what it was. But, you know, Spotify was smart. They said, here, please take a partial ownership of the company so you don't squish us. Because, look, we know this. It's the industry is... it's token gated itself. Essentially, they are a tight knit group. They've been around for a very long time, and they know what they do, and they have their partners, and it is what it is. But they're going to have to get on board with this because, and people say we need big artists on Web3. I don't disagree, but there's going to be an inflection point where the next big artist is not going to be found by a label who, by the way, is outsourcing their finding people by literally going to TikTok and going, who has the most views? Oh, great. Thank you, everybody on TikTok, for telling us who the popular person is. all right, let's go get a contract with them. Everybody, somebody else has already done the legwork and found them. Now we're just going to throw some money at them. It's going to be somebody that comes up out of Web3 that becomes the superstar that got their start there. And that's going to be an inflection point. And when other artists that are in Web2 start saying, wait, that artist that only has X amount of followers is making how much money versus me who has this many quote followers, but it's only having a turnover rate of this much. What's going on here? Why is this the case? And that's going to force them to have to play and have to figure out what the heck is going on.
Yeah. And crypto and Web3, like, obviously we don't think so, but there's, from an outside looking in, there's still that, like, you know, it's a dirty word. It's a little dangerous. It's unregulated. It's this, but you know what? It's cool. And that's the most important thing. TikTok came along and blew everything else out of the water. And now Facebook and all the rest of them are just scrambling to try and figure out how they can do something like TikTok. And I think that's what's going to happen with Web3. I'm bullish on Noom, obviously, but I'm a little biased. But, you know, once the experience is better and it's cool and it's the place to be and the younger generation is in and their favorite artists who are YouTubers and everything else now are in Web3, that's where the industry is going to gravitate towards. And I'll tell you right now, we're not selling out to the major labels. That's for sure. They can, in the words of Mikey Mo, they can get down or lay down, as he says.
Yeah, I have a friend that works at Sony. He actually played on this album. He works at Sony in artist administration, and he told me last year that instead of a label actually signing a group or a DJ, they're basically only signing them for the one single that was that went viral on TikTok or whatever, you know, YouTube or wherever they were at. And they basically, there's no artist development anymore. Like, they have no money for that. They're on like margins where they can basically only sign artists for, you know, the one thing that they can gatekeep, which is like that one single. And then after that, they drop them, you know? So, like, you know, you're going to get, I think what's going to happen is that these artists and content creators that say, hey, wait a minute, like, what's the point of signing with this huge label if they're just going to sign me for my one hit and then drop me when I can get the same results and be paid out more from signing with one of these NFT companies that has the same amount of followers and be able to get the same promotion in Web3, you know? Exactly. And I think that we're going to see the emergence of that sort of decentralized thinking, and that they have, you know, the thing about Cardano is that anybody can make a wallet, right? If Web 1 was, hey, sign into AOL, Web 2 is, hey, you can sign into this website using Facebook or Google. Like, Web 3 is basically going to say, hey, you have a wallet, you can sign into whatever app you want. And I think that's going to be a revolution in terms of the internet, and it's going to change the way that we consume content.
No doubt. I'm with you on that. And to another thing, you know, most artists that are A-tier artists, or not even A-tier, if you're in the industry, right, if you're a commercial musician, you have a lifespan, you have a shelf life of 7 years. You got 7 years on average to make the most of what you got. At that point, you peak, and then you fade into obscurity, and you kind of have a downward trajectory at that point. And for me, Web3, and Mike, you said it, a lot of the labels also, they're just leasing. They're leasing the rights for that song for an X amount of time because they know that those viral, whatever audio clips you hear, they have a shelf life too. And so they only want them for so much time because they have, like you said, thin margins. But with Web3, I'm a firm believer that you're going to have a longer retention period and relevance with your fan base. And if you're connected with them, they're going to continue to support you, especially if what you're producing is not, it, you know, you don't have to sacrifice your musical choices because the people who are following you and support you like you for your original content, not what the label told you that they have a slot for in their artist lineup or what, quote, they think the trending, you know, type of chord progression slash whatever thing is getting a lot of views for the past couple months, right? I think that's super important, just and just empowering for artists in general.
Yeah, man. Dude, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so exciting to be part of this whole thing. And I think that, you know, we can go on for hours in this call. I think about what the future is going to be like for music. I just want to, again, say thank you to everybody at Noom, especially thanks, Adam, for holding my hand through this process.
Hey, I got you, buddy.
But also, like, you know, it's crazy because I was like the weird royalty guy that wanted to like start auditing all the contracts. So like the way that I actually got introduced to you guys was like, hey, you know, like, is this actually, you know, is it the master streaming rights or is it the publishing streaming rights? Like, let me read your token contract and start trolling people in your Discord to see what the, like, how it actually works. Yes. And then it ended up turning into this, like, awesome partnership, dude. And, like, it's so inspiring to see that and all these artists that are so, like, and, you know, everybody's so enthusiastic in this community about how music is going, and to have this convergence of the record store and Jimmy, and it's just like, dude, Jimmy is a freaking master, dude. This guy can create pretty much whatever you want to be with your album. Like, if I had a interactive cartoon as an NFT, like, he would probably be able to put it together and have people be able to like say hi to it, dude. I mean, I'm so stoked about the way that this technology works, and to be connected with you folks for this, and to have this Baby Bird release come out now is just like, it makes my little heart want to pop, you know? So I appreciate you all. And I want to bring more rock and roll, and I want to bring more artists in to see what this is like, because it's just been such an awesome experience.
Appreciate that, man. It's nothing but love here. When I speak on for myself, Noom, Six City, Jimmy, Endmaker, it's all coming together. Music on Cardano is here. Rock on Cardano is here. Thank you to Mike Lerman. I think we should wrap up this space, respectful of everyone's time, but let's just get the plugs in one more time. Today, live, right now, mikelerman.noom.io. You can buy into fractionalized ownership of the streaming royalties for Baby Bird. Check it out. Fire up the wallet. Get it going. As we start introducing more and more streaming services, connecting to these metaverses, you're gonna wanna have a piece, and you're gonna wanna support artists like Mike Lerman, because these guys are here to stay from the beginning, and they got more coming. With that said, on Wednesday the 19th, on recordstore.noom.io. Thanks to Six City, we'll be dropping the double album with all sorts of fancy images and stuff going on with that. Definitely go get that. And then on Friday the 21st, the second half of the album, the first half is already live, but the second half of the album will be live on streaming platforms everywhere. This is a week and change of celebrating Mike Lerman, celebrating rock music, celebrating music on Cardano and Web3. And I'm here for it. Closing thoughts by anyone else, please.
Thanks,
shout
Adam.
Out to Endmaker. Oh, shout out to Endmaker and Six City for next week's drop on the record store. And Mike, you're a rock star, dude. Literally, and just an awesome person.
Oh, man. Thanks. Yeah, dude, I appreciate you guys. This has been so cool. I'm really excited for this album release. Just to add on to the album that's coming out on the 19th, there are also going to be 14 hand-drawn profile pics that come along with the album. You might get a few with each purchase. That'll be little underdogs that are hand-drawn, not AI. Nothing against the AI. Please,
real instruments and real hand drawn by Mike Lerman, man.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I wanted it to be fun. There are 14 of them. It's one for each song. And that's going to be just part of the fun stuff that you get along with purchasing the album. And I'm hoping there's going to be some little extra little bits for those who like to participate in the token sale as well.
Fantastic. Last call. Jimmy, Endmaker, you guys got anything you want to add before we hop off?
No, I just heard the record store link at the very top if you guys want to check it out.
Oh, perfect. And I just want to say that Mike Lerman is a goober, and I love him.
The Gooper loves you back, man. Thanks, everybody, for being here and for joining. Thanks to Cardano community for being so awesome. We're going to bring the future of decentralized finance and content and music. Thanks to Noom for facilitating this awesome process and being able to give artists this platform. Thanks to Six City, Jimmy, for doing all the things, man. This guy works like a rock star himself, and I'm hoping that we get to collab on a track pretty soon. And thanks to NMaker for making the process so smooth for everybody, and including the you know, fans and everyone.
Guys, thank y'all so much for coming out today to help support Mike. Make sure you go check out right now. His streaming world stream tokens are live. The sale is live right now. Do not miss out on that, please. And then we will see you all next week. And Mike, we wish you luck, and we know it's going to be awesome. Thank you for bringing some rock music to Cardano, good sir. We appreciate you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Cheers. Have a wonderful weekend. Don't degen too hard over the weekend, but do go support your local artist.
Later, y'all. Reach out if you want to get your music dropped. Me, Jimmy, we're all here to help.
Rock and roll. Thanks, everybody.